Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. Our Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. It's a fixed rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today in an 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. Call today at 866-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Other restrictions may apply. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Most elves are born to make toys, cobble shoes, or dance on elfyourself.com. But Office Max found the world's only advertising pitch elf.
Do you want to give laptops instead of bath towels? Bam! Gifts for less at Office Max. Like the Toshiba 5353 laptop with 4 gigs of memory and a Pentium processor for only $379.99. Save $120 instantly. Knowledgeable staff are standing by. Stop in now!
Gifts for less at Office Max.
Don't delay. Prices go through 12/24.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. This is our holiday show. So, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Festivus for the rest of us. Did I leave anything out?
No, I think you hit it all.
Anything on Mars
we
that I forgot?
We should have brought, like, bells. We could have been ringing bells.
I am jingle, very, jingle, I'm jingle. I'm feeling very festive. Being with you makes me feel festive,
that's nice
baby.
You weren't all very right, festive so, this morning, that's for sure.
I was cranky because we were out late. I'm old. So anyways, so we got a great show. We've got Molly Stevens with us. Molly's a James Beard Award-winning cookbook
author.
She's not
with us. She's well, going to be on the phone.
It's the same
us.
Thing.
No, it's not. It's totally different.
Oh, my God. It's our first fight of the day. She's got a new book all about roasting, which got my interest right away, and she'll be with us.
It got your interest right away? You don't roast.
I eat roast.
Oh, yes, you do.
Oh, my God.
I didn't understand what you
meant.
Is
anyone else here married? My God, save me.
Well, actually, we do have another married couple in studio. We have the Dentons with us.
Hi.
Hi. We are going to be drinking lots of bubbly today, and we are certainly looking forward to it. They're going to be popping it in just a little bit. And we have Kate Jensen and Tracy O'Grady. They're in from Willow, which just opened a new bakery, and we have baked goods. Yum.
Well, and Heather Roth is here.
Heather Roth is here from L'Académie de Cuisine. She is, can I call you a former pastry chef? A pastry chef in recovery?
No,
what are
she's
we calling
an,
you?
She's an academician. Look at you. Do we have to call you like Dr. Heather Roth?
But she brought baked goods too. I'm actually putting up pictures of them right now. They all look delicious.
Why don't we start with David and Maria?
I think champagne is the way to start.
This
every
is not a knock on anybody
day.
Else. But they brought in champagne. So, you know. All right. So, you know, the holidays are here, and that's when we think of champagne 24/7, but that's really when the world thinks about it. You know, you guys are here to make sure we all do it right. But we have a question for you. Which came first, the romance and then the, you know,
the booze.
The life in booze? Or did you meet while you were already? Because let's see, David, you're the sommelier, Charlie Palmer.
Yes.
And Maria, you've got a big thing. You're where are you?
I'm the
You're in the court of the master sommelier and a Spanish wine educator. I mean, that's fancy stuff. So where did you guys meet?
We were actually in a band together.
Okay, we didn't see that one coming.
Yeah. We're musicians. She was a singer in a band, and I took her spot.
Yeah.
Really? What band?
And wait a second. That didn't get you angry?
No, it was... I come from a pretty conservative family, and I was 17 at the time, and my mom did not want me singing in bars. So
you started pouring drinks in bars instead.
Exactly. Well, you know, bartending gets you through school, and actually my degree is in radio and television, but I found...
So are you going to be judging
drinking?
Us?
No, okay. I'm far out of it. Okay. I was more on the TV side. But
is my voice deep enough for you?
Well, you know, I've always been told I have a face for radio, so it's kind of nice to be back home. So. Teasing.
Okay, so how did you both get into champagne?
Well... you know, we just slowly got into wine, you know, it sort of takes over your life piece by piece. But champagne became our favorite wine for sure. Champagne is the wine for not just for holidays or celebrations, but it's a wine first and, mm-hmm. and a sparkling wine second. So champagne is for almost every meal.
Yeah. But I think people forget that champagne is a wine first. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of people not just forget, they don't even realize that it is a wine. And people are really intimidated by champagne mm-hmm. because they think they have to go big bucks in order to have what's right. You know, there's just the information out there can be confusing if you don't take the time to really do some research.
Yeah, well, the other problem, too, is a lot of people's first idea of champagne is something mm-hmm. that's given to them in a glass and called champagne. But it's probably not. It's probably a sparkling wine from California.
Not that there's anything wrong
not
with
that
it.
There's anything wrong with that. But, you know, usually if your first exposure to sparkling wine is at some relative's wedding. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's not always the best product in the glass. So I've had people say, oh, I don't like champagne. Hmm. But when I hand them a glass of real French champagne, and of course all champagne comes from France.
Right.
It's enlightening. And it certainly was enlightening for us the first time we tasted champagne. We went away from the wine shop. We didn't buy a bottle. They were doing a tasting. Mm-hmm. And we actually drove away. And we were talking. We kept talking about it in the car. And it's like,
yeah, we ended up going back and getting it. It was called Champagne Drapier. Not a very well-known.
Yeah. But it was
just really delicious, and it spoke to you.
Absolutely. So what we brought here, though, we have champagnes that you can find in the D.C., Virginia, Maryland market pretty easily. And no, they're not $100. So we're doing the wines that you can afford and that you can get, and that are we going to have? Do you want to start with a glass now?
Yes. Why don't we start with you pouring?
Wait, David. Why the hell do you think I get up at Sunday morning at 8:00 to come in here? If not for this,
right? Exactly.
Of course. Just bring the bottle over.
So what are you pouring first?
This is called a Duval Loire, and you can find this of the three that we brought. This is the one that you're. It's going to be least likely you can find, so we're kind of going in order.
Well, Maria, I thought you were going to
saber
it.
The party started. Yay! So why is it so hard to find? Is it a small shop? Tell us a little bit about it. You're going to have to stand in front of the mic, though, when you're talking.
Oh, yeah. This one is just a little less imported than the following, to the next two. But if you can find Duval Loire, so this style... you know, champagnes kind of have three different styles, light and medium and full bodied. So we're
Can you
kind
explain of, what each of those are for
so
those
the
who
light
don't
bodied
know?
Is more sort of like the lemonade of champagnes. Very light, easy
sweet?
To drink. Not sweet. Okay. None of these champagnes are sweet. They're all dry.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're looking for here in the light bodied wines are the wines that you drink by themselves or that go with lighter foods like, you know, shrimp cocktail, that type of thing.
All right, quick. You each have 15 seconds. He said, she said. What are the notes we're looking for in this wine?
Lemon, white peach. You're looking for bright acidity. You're looking for freshness.
Okay, done. Your turn.
I always look for something a little biscuity. Okay. I really love that kind of taste of a little toast and a little brioche. In my champagne, and
you think
really
this one has it?
Yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
I'm looking for toast. Here we go.
I'm looking for whatever he said.
He said lemon. I heard lemon. Okay.
All right. So let's turn to Kate and Tracy.
Well, I think we should say cheers.
All right,
cheers.
Cheers. Happy
cheers.
Holidays.
Happy early holidays.
Wait, let's
everybody.
Do this. Here we
chin,
go.
Chin chin chin
chin
chin.
All right.
That's a way to kick it off. Let's go.
You can
go.
Do that with your orange juice at home. All right. So actually.
Delicious.
I first met you guys at a very weird event, and I'll let Nikki take it over, but it was the opening of your restaurant, and it was Matrimony, which I thought was pretty weird.
But was that supposed to happen?
Yes.
Because I remember, we walked in, we
got invited. Let's explain what it was.
Okay, it was the opening of Willow, and it was, what, how long ago?
2005.
And it was your wedding to Brian.
Yes.
Right. So we walked in. I didn't know about the wedding. I'm like, did we come in? Are we on the... Where are we? Like, is this somebody's wedding? And I thought it was the restaurant opening. So let's talk about that. Let's just start. How did you kick it off?
Well, it was... You know, a lot of people said that it was a crazy... Like, how could you do that? Like, wrap the two most pressureful things in your life into one thing, it kind of cancel each other out, basically. basically, you know, when you open a restaurant, you know that you're going to be underwater for about 3 years. And Brian and I weren't married at the time when we were getting ready to open the restaurant, and everybody wanted to come. All our family, my family, his family, Kate's family, you know, all our friends from the restaurant industry. And we said, well, when is everybody going to get back?
You know, two birds with one stone.
Right, knock it out.
Basically.
But now, how did the two of you get together? Tell us a little bit about your previous lives and how you, because this is another marriage of sorts when you're partnering with somebody in a restaurant or in any sort of business venture. So how did you two wind up together?
Well, we worked together many, many years ago at Galileo Restaurant, Roberto Donas. And we were...
For better or for
women.
Worse, right?
For better or for worse, yes. God love them. We were pretty much the only women in the kitchen at, with an all-Italian male
That must have been
staff.
Fun.
It was...
Interesting.
I bet. Sexual harassment, no. Talk about that.
No, we're pretty tough girls,
crew.
Yeah, no.
We didn't have to...
Go face to face with any of those issues, and we did have a lot of respect actually in that kitchen, and we bonded quickly for obvious reasons.
Sure,
and we've been good friends ever since, and kind of gone our separate ways. And
when Willow opened, and I mean Willow's now become, it's like a cornerstone in that part of Boston, I guess is the way the closest sort of descriptor of the neighborhood. What was your idea when you started out, and sort of how has it evolved? Because, you know, I remember, who was it that gave you away?
Bob Kincaid.
Bob Kincaid was there, right. And I sort of had the, you know, I mean, again, we walked into this event, we didn't know what was going on. I sort of thought I would see another Kincaids, which obviously I'm not. So what was it and what's it become?
Well, I think we had, you know, worked downtown for, you know, pretty high-end powerful restaurants, Kincaid's being right near the White House, Galileo. I worked for Yenicom and for about 15 years. And we just decided that we didn't want to be downtown anymore. We wanted to have a neighborhood restaurant. So, you know, we searched. Kate lives in Alexandria. I live in Falls Church.
Okay.
So we were kind of looking in Falls Church, but we couldn't find anything. And finally, somebody called us up and said, well, you should come and take a look at this restaurant in Boston. We're like, Boston?
Where
what
is it?
Is Boston? And who is, like, what's, you know, people were like, it's the Putt-Putt, it's Bob Peck, you know, the, these landmarks that were there. And we love the space, but we were nervous because it wasn't Clarendon, you know.
Sure. I mean, it's, well, and it's a big space.
It's a huge space.
Well, so what was your concept of the restaurant? And over the years, like, how have you evolved with your cooking and with the style? And then I want to get to the opening of the bakery, which I'm digging into right now.
Well, what we
it's delicious.
What we really want to do first and foremost is be a neighborhood restaurant.
Okay.
But we're in Arlington, so we have a very sophisticated clientele for being a neighborhood restaurant. So we really try to walk the line of being neighborhood and friendly, but yet being classy and upscale. And it works for us probably because we have such a big space. So we've divided the space into several entities that all have a similar continuity, but have different feels to them.
Well, so let's talk about the bakery, because this is brand new. You opened it 3 months ago?
Yes, late summer.
And you sort of just took like an alcove in the restaurant, and it's set up so beautifully. It's so whimsical and fun. And I mean, it really stands out compared to the way the rest of the restaurant is set up. So what was the impetus for this?
Well, you know how large our space is, and because of the size of the space, we knew we could come up with other concepts or alternatives to support the space. So we decided to do kind of a retail bakery to go. It's not like you can walk in and have a cappuccino and a muffin in the morning. It's, that's not the focus. It's just kind of, it's what I do. It's all the things that I love to bake are available to you.
So is there a daily offering that you're serving? Like, you brought in all these beautiful cookies. Are all these there?
They are. They're prepackaged in really pretty large glass jars on the pastry station, available to go.
So can you call in and order a birthday cake? Is it that,
absolutely,
you know, that full service?
All right,
yes.
Well, we have to take a break, but when we get back, I want to find out a little bit more about that. And I want to find out what one of those cookies were, because it was It was delicious. I want to eat more of them. Right? This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be snacking on some cookies and definitely drinking some more bubbly. We'll be back in just a bit.
Hey, Angie. Wow, you did it, didn't you? You went over to...
Mm-hmm. Went to Walmart and got the Pioneer DEH44 HD with built-in HD radio technology.
New HD2, HD3 channels, digital sound quality, and no subscription fees.
You got it. Hey, come on, let's ride. Since the Pioneer DEH44 HD is only $120 at Walmart, I'm taking you out for dinner.
Nice.
HD radio. More radio, more value. Now in the car audio department at Walmart.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast, David and Nikki Nellis, and we've got Tracy O'Grady and Kate Jensen of Willow in here.
With all their yummy
Well, they just opened a bakery in the restaurant, right. And we're talking about that profile, and we're eating everything we can get.
Okay,
our
can we just
on.
Talk about the one cookie, the sandwich cookie? What was that?
S'mores.
S'mores, but that didn't look like a s'more.
Kind of my take on a s'mores. It's
I'm really
homemade
glad the plate
graham
is
cracker.
Down there now.
With marshmallow fondant that mm-hmm. I make from scratch and a little milk chocolate ganache.
Wait, it's a marshmallow fondant?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Like it's not a classic marshmallow? Or
it isn't.
Okay.
It's quite a process, but
it's a secret recipe.
It is. She's not sharing.
Not sharing.
She can tell us, but just to kill us on air.
Okay, guys, so the holidays are coming up. What is going on at Willow?
The holidays are here in full gear. We
right.
are just exhausted, but elated at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Our sales have been remarkable, particularly with the bakery items.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I have a lot of pre-packed items ready to go.
And, so people can just come in and pick up snacks, pick up bags of
things. Don't even have to order ahead of time necessarily.
Okay. Well, let's talk about ordering ahead of time. Can you do it online and on the phone, or is it on the phone still at this point?
It's still on the phone,
okay.
Or so many of our customers are right in our neighborhood, and so they just come in. Speak with someone.
Okay.
Pre-order.
And is there a big New Year's Eve gala, a big gig? What are you guys doing?
We do offer an extended a la carte menu.
Okay.
And most of our customers really prefer that. They don't want to get too tied down to...
Like, no commitment, fear
right.
of commitment.
Well, see, some people come in early because they have something else to do, and some people come in late because they want to stay late, so we kind of let them do whatever they like.
Excellent.
And from the bakery end, I always do a surprise item for each couple for New Year's Eve to take with them.
Oh, that's so nice. Like a little takeaway. Excellent. All right, well, guys, thank you so much
Well, let's
for coming
make sure
today.
Willow on the web and Willow on the street. How do people find you?
It's www.willowva.com.
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Then,
All right. Well, thank you for bringing in the sweets.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
Congratulations on everything.
Thanks for the
thank
champagne.
You.
Now
oh.
get back to work.
Yeah, right.
All right. David and Maria Denton.
Yes. Okay. I definitely tasted a little bit of toast.
And I definitely tasted a little bit of lemon.
But that's only because that's all he remembers of what you said.
I probably, if you'd said bacon, I probably
the
would have
The power of suggestion. The next one has bacon, lots of bacon.
Okay, so tell us quickly what you're going to be pouring next.
Okay, so the next one you will be able to find relatively easily. It's called Piper Heidsick.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And it's about $32 retail. This is a great Christmas. This is good for...
Yes.
All sorts of gatherings.
This is good for dinners, too.
Yeah, right. You could really have this with, you know, maybe if you're doing like a little first course or you're serving canapes or something like that, this will go with it because it has a little more weight to it. Mm-hmm. And it really is a balance between some of those crisp fruit flavors.
Sure.
And then kind of the toast thing that I brought up. And the more full-bodied it is, the more you're going to get like the brioche and toasty notes. And the lighter it is, the more kind of lemony and fresh it is.
Well, right, citrusy.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where does Piper Heidsieck fall in terms of expense and, you know, how...
Well, they said it was $32.
But in the range of what where champagnes are. If I walk into a liquor store and I see... You know, a bunch of different labels up there. Is Piper Heidsieck considered a, you know,
yeah,
lower?
Top line. Yeah. Top line, so okay. Even though you're spending $32 for a bottle of wine, it's a fantastic deal.
Okay.
This is very good.
And, you know, earlier we were talking about different styles of champagne. What does that really mean? Because I think most people think champagne is champagne. I mean, other than sparkling wine. But when we say styles, I mean, isn't method?
The way that they're going to make a lighter bodied, a medium mm-hmm. bodied, and a fuller bodied. So that's what we're doing. Started with the Duval Loire, which right. I consider a light bodied. And now we're moving into the Piper Heidsieck, which is medium bodied and probably the one that almost everyone will like.
But what is it that makes it light, medium?
The choice of the grapes.
The use of grapes.
Because they're using three different grapes, Pinot Meunier, Pinot Noir, mm-hmm. and Chardonnay. So if you're using more Pinot Noir, you're getting a fuller bodied champagne. Mm-hmm. If you're using a lot of Chardonnay, ends up being a lighter bodied style.
Okay, quick. We have our next guest on the phone. He said, she said. What are the notes we're looking for? 15 seconds each. Go.
I'll go marzipan, biscuit, orange, mandarin orange.
Marzipan.
Oh, man. He took all of mine.
Oh, no.
How am I supposed to find marzipan?
You know what? I would say it's going to be a little more towards the richer fruits. So if you're getting lemon, it's going to be more towards a Meyer lemon, like, you know, a little... Fuller bodied. Mm-hmm. And like he was saying with the orange, it's going to be a little bit more towards the mandarin than say, like a navel orange.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to take us from something I totally didn't understand to something I do understand, and that's roasting. Molly, are you on the phone?
I'm here, David.
Hi. How are you? Everybody, we've got, I would call you the Roastmaster General, wouldn't I? The Molly Stevens is a James Beard.
He could not wait to say that line.
I thought of that last night. James Beard Award winning cookbook author and Bon Appetit Cooking Teacher of the Year. And she's got a new book out that is awesome. It's all about roasting. It's called All About Roasting, A New Approach to the Classic Art. Molly, welcome to the show.
Hi, Molly. How are you?
Hi, Nikki. I'm well, thanks.
Excellent. All right. So you started with braising, with your All About Braising book, and now you're all about roasting. Just tell us, what is it about the oven and the slow cooking that you love so much?
Yeah, well, I love to teach. I'm a cooking teacher first, and mm-hmm. so I really, my biggest objective is to get people into the kitchen and cooking, and when you turn on your oven and you get something delicious in there, cooking slowly, quickly, however it's doing, you've got wonderful smells filling up your house, you've got people around, you're making dinner, everything's better.
Right. Well, so, but with the roasting book, I mean, I think a lot of people think roasting, I mean, you have a ton of recipes and a ton of different product in there, but how hard can it be to roast? I mean, I've read the book and I learned a ton because I think I roast pretty well, but it's how
you
hard.
You roast me every day.
Yes, I do. How do you explain to people the techniques of roasting?
Well, and that's exactly, Nikki, what you say. Everybody roasts. It's very simple. We turn on the oven, we season some food, we slide it in, and we're roasting. Mm-hmm. And I think we almost take it for granted because we just do it.
Right.
Know? Not complicated. There's no fancy maneuvers. It just happens. And so what I wanted to do was step back and say, well, what's really going on? How? Because sometimes it comes out beautifully, other times maybe not so much. And so what I wanted to do was to really explore the technique and figure out what's really happening. And I learned that it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of cooking technique mm-hmm. in that sometimes you need high heat, sometimes low heat's better, sometimes a combination. And so what I tried to do was to figure out what's best. What's the best approach for, you know, different kinds of food?
Right, for each dish. Well, you know, we were talking about, David and I, when we were talking about the book last night, we're talking about roasted chicken specific because everybody...
Yes.
Because, well, you know, everybody makes a roasted chicken and there's tons and tons of recipes for it. And there's sort of the, you know, start it on high and then put it on low or do it all at one temperature. I mean, what do you think is the best way to roast a chicken?
Oh, that's such a good question. And I am very careful. I don't use the word perfect.
Okay.
Like, there's no perfect roast chicken. For me, the perfect roast chicken is the one that you cook when you're having a nice evening and you've got some good friends around and there's a nice bottle of wine and everything else is going well. That's the perfect roast chicken. There are a lot of different ways to get great results. Mm-hmm. And so the way my method is, I use a smallish chicken, I think under 4 pounds. Mm-hmm. Is best for roasting whole because it'll be tender and also give you lots of crispy skin. I also pre-season the chicken, so I salt it a day or two ahead of time.
Now, are you brining it or are you just salting it?
Just salting it.
Because I was talking to a chef the other day, a chef from Baltimore, and he is like majorly anti-brining, and he said that the drier the chicken is, the crispier the skin. Is that true?
Yes, I agree with this. Brilliant chef.
Okay, I will pass it on to him.
because roasting is all about dry, getting a dry surface, so that's how you get crisp. If it's wet, then it's going to be soft, and you'll have a whole different kind of thing happening. So dry is better for roasting.
Okay.
And then the other thing, I roast at a pretty high temperature, not 500, but 400. So it's pretty hot. And that's it.
That's it. So you don't change the temperature at all? Okay.
Not with a little bird. With a bigger bird, I do. With a bigger bird, I start high and then drop it down.
All right. It's
all about getting the inside cooked before the outside gets overcooked.
Sure.
So, Molly, I've got a question for you because, how do people, this is a thing about sustainable and organic and grass-fed beef and free-range chicken and all that. In the end, does it really matter? Is the cooking technique more important than whether or not the bird ate grass or corn? I'm the idiot on the show.
That's the idiot's question. In case you couldn't tell.
Does the beast mean the idiot at all?
Yes, that's how I equate it.
David, no, that's a great question. And the
yes,
thing
it
about
is.
Roasting that is,
is so
that
annoying.
It's because it's so simple, it's this really direct way of cooking, and the quality of your ingredients really matters when you're roasting because there's no... You can't really hide behind, there's not a lot of fancy sauces or other things to cover up. And roasting actually concentrates the intrinsic character of whatever you're roasting. So the better the piece of whatever it is, whether it's poultry or protein or meat or whatever, the better it is going in the oven, the better it is going to be coming out. So the quality makes a difference. How you determine quality, I find, is a very subjective and personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
That if... everyone has their own. Some people really like the flavor of corn-fed beef, and that is what they like, want, and will always appreciate. Others prefer a grass-fed or maybe a grass-fed with a corn finish. There's so many variables, and it's good in a way. We have choices that we didn't have 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
And that, to me, is very exciting as a cook. But it does mean for a shopper, you need to, the best thing is find a market you like, find somebody you trust, ask some questions, roast a few chickens, find the one you like, and that's the one you buy next time.
All right, I got one more beastly question for you. Growing up, when my dad would, we'd have roasted beefs or whatever, and the stuff that collected at the bottom of the pan, the kids all called goopla, and the race was to drop bread into the goopla and, devour it. Good
goopla?
For your health, bad for your health.
He calls it goopla. I just don't ask.
Yeah, you can call it goopla if you'd like, Molly. You may have that for your next James Beard Award-winning book. My question,
though. Goopla.
Yeah, goopla. I'll send the spelling to you in case it's a problem. But the question is that we were always questioning whether it was healthy or we should have left that alone and just eaten the beef itself.
It's the fat.
I know. So is the fat, how bad or good for you is that, basically the leavings after it's been roasted?
Well, especially as a kid growing up, it's great for you because you need fat and protein growing up and you're having fun eating it, so that's better for you.
That was the right answer.
Yeah. Now you ate, we might have to talk, but it's totally good for you.
So you mean when he's...
I actually save the fat. I save the drippings, and even if I'm not... And I do the same thing today. I drag a piece of bread through the drippings and while I'm standing in the kitchen, getting dinner ready. And if I'm not using them, I'll save them and use them again for something else.
Yum.
All right, well, listen.
You.
You could be wife number five.
Four.
Molly, we have to take a quick break. Do you mind hanging on the phone for 2 minutes so we can come back and talk a little more?
Sure.
All right, excellent. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be talking more roasting. And if your cooking school is in your future, you're going to hear all about it here. Stay tuned.
What Facebook has done, they're transforming advertising. With Google click-through, you don't really know who's clicking through. But with Facebook, you can so specify who's looking at your ads that it's extremely targeted. That's why Google is so worried, because Facebook has created this closed ecosystem. They don't allow Google search into their little private kingdom. And Google is afraid that the Facebook community will become larger than Google's.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
It's holiday time, and when you need a break from all the planning and cooking and entertaining, spend time with family and friends in the relaxed and comfortable setting of New Potomac's Founding Farmers in the heart of Park Potomac, just off Route 270 at Montrose Road. We offer breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and brunch with menus of incredible scratch-made foods with ingredients from American family farmers from across the region. There's easy access parking, and we're open on Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. Visit wearefoundingfarmers.com for details and for reservations.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
So we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we've got James Beard Award-winning cookbook author Molly Stevens on the phone, and we're talking roasting.
Molly, I wanted to ask, you know, in looking through your book, I mean, you have 150 recipes. How did you go about culling them together?
Well, Nikki, it took 5 years.
Oh, that's not long at all.
No.
You must feel roasted.
Toasted? 30 recipes a year. I tried first to make a list of what are the iconic roasted dishes that need, if a book is really going to try to cover most of roasting, what's it going to be? So there's a roast turkey, there's a roast prime rib, there's roast ham, there's roast leg of lamb, the big things that you think about. And then I wanted to do everyday roasting. So we talked about roast chicken before the break. There's also roast chicken thighs, you know, smaller, quicker, what I think of as weeknight. There's roasted hamburgers, there's roasted seafood. So I really, in addition to what first comes to mind, I wanted to demonstrate the diversity of the technique and how even roasted clams, roasted peaches. I mean, things that you might not always think about.
Right.
Well, you've got a recipe in there for, what is it, blasted broccoli? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I saw that. I love it.
Yeah.
I would not eat a vegetable until Nikki came into my life and she started roasting them. And that now
all we do is roast vegetables.
Now I'll even eat Brussels sprouts.
Even my kids eat them. My kids eat all the vegetables because, you know, I think roasting just caramelizes it and it's so yummy and good. But I'll tell you,
all the natural sugars, yep.
My favorite recipe in the book is the porchetta. How much fun did you have putting that one together?
There was a lot of work and a lot of fun to do.
Right. Well, it looks like I haven't made it because of that extra fat slab that you have to put over it. That's a little intimidating to me.
Molly, do you need any volunteer tasters for the next book? Because I'm available.
Is there a next book? Are you working on that?
I am not.
Okay. You're on a break.
Yes, most likely, but I'm searching around. I'm thinking about it. So right now I'm really just happy to be talking about the roasting book. And
well, I've got a question, and that is just if you had to give listeners your most invaluable roasting tip, what would you tell them to do? Now you're on the spot.
Tough one. Pre-season.
So salt and pepper?
Salt and pepper a day or two ahead.
That's not good for me. I'm not good at it. I can do the pre-seasoning. I can't do a day or two ahead. That's tough.
Okay. All right. We need one more good technique then?
Yes. One more, please.
All right. Preheat your oven longer than just when the little chime goes off.
Uh-huh.
That often is just a timer and is not really the oven preheat.
That's
so actually preheating your oven
until it's and getting an oven thermometer, so you know what temperature your oven really is at.
I love that. That's
why,
a great one.
Why? Because you'll end up overcooking if you put it in and it hasn't reached the temperature you want. Is that? I mean,
well,
in other words.
Or, especially with a lot of, you want a blast, initial blast of hot heat of an air to get the outside caramelized and crisp and brown. And if you don't, if you put it in, the oven's not sufficiently hot, it'll sort of sit there and kind of steam and just get warm, and it won't roast properly.
All right.
Smart stuff.
Excellent. All right, Molly, tell everybody where they can find your book, please.
Boy, it's in bookstores, bricks and mortar. It's online. I've got a website, Molly Stevens Cooks.
Excellent.
Go there, and there's a link to it.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
And the book is all about roasting. Molly, thanks very much.
Thanks for joining us today.
David, Nikki, thank you. Have a good holiday.
You too.
Take care. All right. We're back to David and Maria Denton.
We are.
We're getting loopy.
I'm not getting loopy. It takes a lot more for me to get loopy.
So I was talking about the three different styles. This is a full-bodied style. This one you can find everywhere. This is called Tattinger.
Okay, is it Tattinger or Tattinger?
They don't care how you pronounce it as long as you buy it.
Okay.
So Tattinger is good for us English.
So,
this one you can find pretty much any good wine shop in D.C., Virginia, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a personal favorite. I'm glad that we have this one to show you. A lot more complexity on this, a lot more richness. We get a kind of a creamy almost honeyed sensation.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's sweet at all. It's still dry, but it just really makes an impression.
Well, do you mean the aroma? Is that something you're looking for in the aroma?
Yeah, almost like honeysuckle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, should you, when somebody pours you a glass of champagne, should you smell? I mean, should you do the same thing with it that you would with a glass of wine?
Yeah, no. Don't swirl it because the bubbles are actually releasing the aromas into your nose. And if you swirl it, it's just dissipating the bubbles.
You're like just popping them.
If you were swirling Coca-Cola, guess what would happen?
The
bubbles would go away. So, no, you just simply put your nose in the glass.
Well, let me ask you, jump in with something, because now we're sort of doing a little champagne education. The Center for Wine Origins exists to do what?
Okay, that's great. I just passed the exam for the Center of Wine Origins as a wine location specialist. And what we're doing here is we're trying to emphasize that wines come from a certain place. Just like when you say Idaho potatoes, they don't come from Florida, and Florida orange juice doesn't come from Maine. Champagne can really only come from this one special area in France called Champagne.
The style of wine is sparkling wine. Champagne comes from Champagne.
Okay.
And it's the soil of Champagne and the climate of Champagne and the methods that they use and the laws that govern them that make the wine so special and really the pinnacle of sparkling wine in the world.
But when we talk about sparkling wine and specifically sparkling wine from the Champagne region of France, what about it is it just the terroir that is so unique compared to other regions?
It's mostly the soil and the fact that they're really on the edge of where you can successfully grow grapes, where it's so cold up there that you're almost to the edge of where you can successfully ripen grapes. Therefore, you're keeping that high acidity, that crisp freshness. Mm-hmm. And the wines age and age and age for a very long time because of that structure.
Okay, we got to do...
Well, we're going to move on. Quick question, and we'll,
wait,
and we'll
no,
come
no,
back.
No, it's time for the he said, she
oh,
said.
Oh, that's right. God forbid I should forget the he
She's
said.
Steal mine.
David, I'm just trying to save you.
Okay, all right, quickly.
Maria's going first.
What do we got?
I think this is more full-bodied. It has a little bit more of a creamy texture to it. You get a lot more of that kind of toasty brioche thing that I love in a champagne.
Mm-hmm.
But it still has that nice crisp acidity.
Okay, David?
You very, very creamy almonds. You get really ripe peach and this sort of almost mango tropical character.
I'm tasting the mango, man.
All right.
You always side. The Davids are sticking together.
We're Davids.
That's right. And I appreciate the $100. That was great. All right. So now we've got an old friend.
We have two friends. Two friends in studio with us. We have Heather Roth, who many of you may know from her pastry chef days at Hook, among many other places. And
Whoopie Pies.
Yeah. She brought the Whoopie Pie back, without a doubt. And Barbara Collin is here with us. They're both at L'Académie de Cuisine. And the reason why we want you guys to come in today is because given that the new year is coming and people make resolutions, it's like, this year I'm going to do X. I'm going to fill my bucket list. I'm going to do whatever. Cooking is so big. People love to do it at home. They love to go to cooking classes and do things. But everybody's like, oh, I wish I could be a chef. And it's taking that next step. And L'Académie de Cuisine has so many great programs. So we thought, what better way to tell people what's available to them than by bringing you in? But first, we have to figure out how you got out of the kitchen and into the classroom. Tell us a little bit.
Well, I got out safely. quickly. No. Well, you know, the opportunity at L'Académie came, you know, to me, and it was just one that I couldn't resist, mm-hmm. you know. I'd been in the kitchen for over 10 years, and...
Beats getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. And, you know, now, you know, commuting to Gaithersburg is, you know, from Virginia, probably, you know, still getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but to avoid the traffic. But it was really an opportunity that, you know, was wonderful, and... you know, just being able to be part of that team and really influence and talk to prospective students and work, you know, with such a wonderful group of talented and faculty, the instructors and everything.
Are most of your students people that really want to be professional chefs or people that love to cook and want to sharpen their skills or get skills?
So we have in Bethesda is our recreational school. Mm-hmm. But the school in Gaithersburg is specifically is our professional
serious
program. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the director of admissions for the professional program at L'Académie de Cuisine.
Do people have to suck up to you to get in? I mean,
they can if they like. You know.
She takes money.
But really, you know, there are people who, you know, seriously have been considering for many years switching careers and or, you know, or maybe not even for many years, but, you know, even younger students that have just said, you know what, this is something I want to do. And it's really working with them and counseling them and making sure this is what they're interested in and not just, oh, I was watching Food Network or whatnot.
Well, you must get a lot of that.
Of course we
do. Don't you?
Yes. And that's fine. And, you know, as
sort
someone
of good
who,
news, bad news.
Yes. And as someone who had switched careers from something that was completely outside of the restaurant industry, mm-hmm. You know, I understand that that's how it starts. And so, yes, there is something that we owe to these shows and programs, et cetera, for increasing the interest in food and wine,
awareness.
And awareness, absolutely.
I mean, honestly, mm-hmm. say what you want about Rachel Ray or Emeril or any of those people, but there is a reason that
absolutely.
Middle America is walking into better restaurants and we are having farmers markets pop all over
absolutely.
The place. I mean,
walking into better restaurants, learning right. how to cook, interested in, you know, buying, you know, wonderful books like you had, you know, the author on today, mm-hmm. you know, and really learning those techniques. You know, if they're doing it at home, fantastic. You know, if they really want to come and either, you know, they want to start their first career or if they want to transition into a new career, mm-hmm. you know, we have, you know, a program here in the D.C. area that, you know, is perfect for that.
Well, let's talk about the program. I mean, what is available for somebody who's like, okay, I'm ready to take the big bite?
Yeah. So for the professional program, we actually have two different programs. We have mm-hmm. a daytime and an evening culinary arts and pastry arts program.
And the evening program, is that new? It started last year?
So,
the first
yes.
time?
So the first evening culinary arts program started this past February. Mm-hmm. And we've had one start since then. Mm-hmm. And the evening pastry arts program, we're actually starting for the first one. We're very excited.
I bet.
This March 27th is the mm-hmm. first start for that. We have...
So that's specific just to pastry?
That's specific just for pastry arts.
Okay.
Yep. And then we have a specific culinary arts program. Mm-hmm. The program itself, it's very unique. They're both the evening programs are 9 months of in-class and in-kitchen study, and then that's
so
followed by
Monday
a
through Friday. Like, what is it? What's the schedule like? Just so people who considering it.
So the evening program is three evenings during the week, mm-hmm. and then Saturdays. So if people are interested, it is definitely something. It was designed for people who actually wanted to transition into a new career in the culinary arts. So and it's. It's a great program. As I said, it's 9 months in the kitchen and mm-hmm. classrooms in Gaithersburg, and then followed by a 6-month paid externship, actually apprenticing for either a fine dining chef or pastry chef in one of the wonderful kitchens that we have, you know, in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to take a quick break. Yeah, but sure. When we get back, I want to get into more the nitty-gritty of what some of the things are that people can, you know, what they're learning in those programs. Because, you know, 9 months, I'm sure people are like, God, what? I know how to cook. Like, what could you possibly teach me? Right. So this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. If you want to be a chef, this is definitely the way to go about it. And I think we have, do we have one more glass of bubbly in our future?
We have a lot of bubbly left from the three bottles that we did.
We don't have a new one. I think that's a great answer.
But you guys got to get to work in finishing these bottles.
This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guests, John Dedon, my partner at Odin Feldman & Pittleman, and Wendy Payne, who is the owner and operator of a company called Life Stage Transitions. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the full-service law firm of Odin Feldman & Pittleman, located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
It's holiday time, and when you need a break from all the planning and cooking and entertaining, spend time with family and friends in the relaxed and comfortable setting of New Potomac's Founding Farmers in the heart of Park Potomac, just off Route 270 at Montrose Road. We offer breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and brunch with menus of incredible scratch-made foods with ingredients from American family farmers from across the region. There's easy access parking, and we're open on Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. Visit wearefoundingfarmers.com for details and for reservations.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Can I help you?
Yeah, my brother got an Insignia HD Radio Portable last month, and he really enjoys his workouts now.
Yep, HD Radio broadcasts are great. All kinds of new stuff on the HD2, HD3 channels.
And the Insignia HD Radio Portable is $49.99?
Yes, it's a great value.
Whoa, lead the way.
And did you know Insignia also offers an HD Radio Boombox for just $99?
Insignia HD Radio receivers. Get them now at Best Buy. HD Radio. More radio, more value.
So we're back on Foodie and the Beast. Before we get back to talking L'Académie de Cuisine, I just want to thank the folks that sponsor the show and make this all this possible. Mm-hmm. Georgetown Bagelry. Best bagels in America, everybody. A neighborhood restaurant group at
Rustico. Well, since they're only available locally, you can get them locally.
Yeah, they're on River Road.
They're wonderful.
Evening Star, Rustico, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia, Firehouse, Birch and Barley, Church Key. All our friends at Neighborhood Restaurant Group. Also, the folks at the two Founding Farmers, one on Pennsylvania Avenue and the new one out in Potomac. Modus Hospitality has Notte Bianche Dish and Circle Bistro. Great restaurants.
Yeah.
Great for after the theater, too, for the Kennedy Center.
Very true.
I might say. Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jeweler. Yes, a jeweler sponsors this show. Bethesda Central Farm Market and our newest sponsor, Carmine's. And I guess we can make a little bit of an announcement. We're going to start doing live remotes from Carmine's on Sunday, January 15th, and we're going to have a basically...
Well, but they're not all going to be live remotes.
No, but we will be doing several during 2012, and we're going to have a live audience. They're going to serve breakfast, and you'll be able to chat down.
It's going to be a big
down,
party.
Yeah, it's going to be a boogie. So if you're interested, call Carmine's and reserve
for
that.
Reserve a spot.
Yeah, man, why not? We're going to have fun. So let's get back to Heather.
Absolutely. Okay, so Heather from L'Académie de Cuisine, tell us...
Heather from L'Académie.
So the pastry program, what is it that people will be learning? Like in 9 months, what are some of the key things that they will accomplish?
Well, all of our programs are, you know, based in French techniques, but there are lots of things that some culinary schools
Hence
have.
The duh.
Right? Hence the de cuisine. I thought
that's what most of your students say, duh. Right.
Well, you know, there are lots of things that, you know, you might be baking at home, but you're not... either doing things the right way or you're even learning the how and why behind it. So, you know, not just the practical,
science.
But the theory of it and, you know, how to prevent things from happening and understanding when they go right, why they're going right for you in the kitchen. So, you know, but it's really a very well-rounded program. Things that some schools are no longer doing, like passage, we're still definitely doing that.
What's that?
Okay. We'll talk about that later. you know, but still there's... lots
he's
of things.
He's like, wait, I really want to know what passage.
So passage is basically sugar, gelatin. You can use it mostly. It's not edible, but you're using it if you're making plaques or
sounds edible
show
to me.
Pieces.
Like when they put like little.
You don't
like,
want to eat it. I promise.
Like, it's like the little flowers and stuff like that, right?
Well, there are some pieces that. You know, flowers and decor, but
right.
I took this off into the ozone again.
I know.
Sorry.
She's like, I don't want to answer that question. So you're still doing some of the older techniques, but clearly,
yes,
they're
but
the
then
ones.
Obviously, you know, also making sure that people understand how it is relevant in the restaurant or culinary arts, in a professional, you know, fine dining kitchen. So plating, really, and refining those techniques. You know, we start everybody, you know, from the beginning, whether you have any experience or not. As I said, some people, you know, have some experience but have learned things incorrectly. So it's, you know, you can always come for a tour of the school. We actually have a couple of information sessions that are coming up, one for the pastry arts program, both the evening and the daytime, will be on Wednesday, January 18th.
Okay.
And then the culinary arts program, we have an information session on Saturday, the 21st of January.
Okay.
So, you know, or you can call me, we can talk one-on-one. You know, that's,
what's your number?
My number is 301-670-8670. Well, it's making me feel very good.
Okay,
I'm originally from New York.
Is it New York or is it Jewish?
I don't know what you're
doing.
It's Jewish New York, so both work.
My David Hagedorn voice.
Oh, no.
So, what's the number?
That's not David.
He's a New Yorker.
No,
anyway.
He's not.
He's a Miamian. All right. So, and where do we find you guys online?
At www.lacademy.com. And no apostrophe, so.
Right. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you so much for having us here.
Absolutely. Okay.
Wait.
Yes, okay.
Center for Wine Origins.
Yes.
I want to, because that's why you're in here, really, and I want to talk about that and understand how I can come in there and learn more about wines.
You can't.
If I want to.
You're not allowed.
Well,
can't
you, actually, you can. It's mostly geared towards sommeliers and wine educators.
I could be that.
It's www.wineorigins.com. And there you can get information about the program. The program is a study guide to become a wine location specialist. And actually, it's not just champagne. It's port. And
well, there's a big port. They're doing a big port. There's a big port day, right, in January?
Mm-hmm. January 27th, I believe.
Right.
Yep.
And so the whole point of it is to just sort of show off these regions and the kinds of wines they're serving in those regions?
Well, yeah, and we want everyone to know that, you know, you see sometimes port that's from New York. It's like that Taylor port and those products.
Drink that port, in college.
Yeah, port comes from Portugal, from one small place in Portugal. And nowhere else. It's a place name. And that's the same thing we were talking about. Champagne doesn't come from California. Champagne only comes from Champagne in France. And that's what the Center of Wine Origins is trying to get on their box and explain to people that you should know where your product is coming from.
And what it means.
It's kind of a uniquely U.S. problem because, of course, the European Union protects these names as being, you know, Champagne is from Champagne, port is from a specific area of Portugal.
Is that really why, I mean, given that you're a specialist in Spanish wines, you know, cava is cava. I mean, it's a bubbly.
Correct.
It's a sparkling wine, but they do call it cava in Italy. It's Prosecco.
Right.
But in California,
we just call it sparkling wine.
Right.
And, you know, that's okay. And the method by which it's made, I mean, they use the same method that they use in champagne. They call it the method champenois. And that's fine to use on a label. But don't say, you know, Joe Schmo's champagne if it comes from
What's
California.
What's the penalty for saying that? Is
There's
there
no penalty in the United States. So really? In the European Union, they would not allow it.
What do you think it is? I mean, why doesn't the United States care about those kinds of labels?
We're still learning. I mean, we're still
the
new world. We're
no,
don't,
we're mad at the French for being snooty.
We hate the French.
Well, you always try to.
I'm not mad at the French.
Kind of a hard
don't